This episode is brought to you by BundleRabbit.com, Earth's most accessible book bundling marketplace. Welcome to The Everyday Novelist. My name is J. Daniel Sawyer, author of 24 books, 34 short stories, and countless articles and scripts and essays, and I am your guide on this quest to raise your output to pulp speed levels and to explore the cracks and crevices of business and craft in the writing life.
Welcome to The Questions, episode 258.
Today, Robert asks, how do I edit without smoothing out my writing so much that it becomes generic? Well, Robert, there are dozens of tricks that you can learn to do this. I'll give you a couple of the ones that I use, because I'm in the early mid part of my career, so I haven't mastered all of this stuff yet. But I'll tell you what I've found that works well for me, and then recommend a few other resources for you. Basically, all of the techniques you'll run across that work are techniques that are designed to help you evoke the same mindset that you use when you're writing the book rather than evoke a mindset that you would use to edit someone else's book. The kind of distance that Stephen King talks about getting after you drop something in the drawer for 6 weeks is not really the kind of distance you want from your own manuscript, not when you're telling the story. It's good distance if you're proofreading for typos, but not when you're telling the story. What you want to do is you want to read your story as if it's not your story. Not looking for problems, but looking to get lost in it. Then when you hit a speed bump, what you do is you patch it. You don't sit there and, like, analyze the problem. You hit a speed bump, you're like, oh, continuity problem, easy fix. Oh, where'd that motivation come from? And then you pop back, and you basically what you're doing is you're doing a full cycle, just like you would when you're writing and cycling back and moving forward and popping out of the manuscript and back and forth. What you do is you're reading it in order to get lost in the story, and then when it does something that gets in your way, you back up and you take another run at that thing. On your second draft, you want to be engaging with the story like it's your first draft. It's a bit of a weird head game, and I know I'm not explaining it well, but that's the basic theory. Whatever gets you to be able to do that is something that you'll find useful and good. Two of the things I do, one of them is the one I just talked about. I'll sit down and I'll read the book, and sometimes I'll take it off the computer entirely if I'm having trouble with distance, but frequently I'll just do it on the computer and I'll read through it and get lost in the story, and I will come across bits where I started one sentence and then finished another sentence, and I'll realize that I left out a half sentence in the middle, so I'll just put it in. I'll come across bits where I've got a continuity jump or a lack of foundation problem or an order of information problem, and I'll know this because as I'm reading, I'll feel confused. And if I feel confused, what I'll do is I'll read through the whole section two or three times until I get the gestalt, and I understand what it was I was trying to communicate, and then I'll go back to the section and I'll write it over more or less from scratch so that it comes out in a way that's intelligible for the audience that time. The other thing I do, and this is a thing I love to do because my speaking voice and my writing voice are similar enough that I can do this, and I'll explain what I mean by that in a minute because they don't sound exactly the same. But I will read my book out loud, and this is one of the reasons I like to record my own audiobooks, because I can do double and triple duty. And the reading it out loud automatically shows me problems with it, because my voice sounds a certain way when you read it out loud. And it should, because the music in my head matches the music on the page. Now, when I say that my speaking voice and my writing voice sound the same, I don't mean that my writing voice is full of California colloquia or has a California accent, though sometimes it does depending on the story. I'm not saying that my writing voice is limited to one particular mode of speech, because it's not. And I'm not saying that there's a certain vocabulary that I use that's consistent in both my writing and my speaking. My writing voice varies quite a lot between series. I'm one of those writers that has the ability to shift the surface level of the voice around to suit the story without putting much thought into it. I call it finding the music in the story. But the underlying aspects of my voice are always present. There's a poetic structure to the way that my voice works that I learned to recognize when I was studying poetry and linguistic construction and other stuff like that. Everybody's got a way that they construct language that is a dead giveaway. It's such a dead giveaway that computers can look at a piece of writing and tell who wrote it if they've got samples to compare it against, even if those samples come from different eras of writing or it comes from the same writer mimicking another writer's voice. There's just things about the way we use language that are trained into us when we're pre-verbal. There's a music to the words, and I mean that quite literally. We learn language by listening to what, to our minds, is the nonsensical ravings of giants around us. And we learn to speak, and we learn to associate words with meanings by making sounds that sound to our ears like the sounds that we're hearing around us all the time. Those sound structures are what make up the fundamentals of your voice. They're not your whole voice, but they make up the fundamentals of your voice. I've studied language enough and language acquisition and the associated neurology and whatnot, and I did enough work with my own voice and learning to do accents and learning to construct poetry and that sort of thing, that I'm actually able to look at a piece of writing and tell if I wrote it. And that sounds crazy, but I've actually written enough that I can't remember what I wrote. Once you pass the 1 or 2 million word mark, you're going to start forgetting things you write, particularly the particular things that you wrote. And I've written enough that, you know, I'm up around 4 or 5 million words lifetime now. I've written enough that I simply don't know all the stuff I've written. And I'll come across a piece of my writing and I'll read it and I'll go, oh, I didn't know I wrote that. I don't remember writing that. And yet I can tell by reading it that I wrote it and when I wrote it, because I'm familiar with the way that my language use has changed over the years. And I can go back and augment and imitate the style of my earlier voices. It's a bit of a rarefied skill, but it's based on something that everybody's got. Everybody's got that music in their head. And when you read your story out loud, you hear the music that you've put on the paper. And sometimes it won't sound right to you. And when it doesn't sound right to you, that's the equivalent of hearing yourself play a false note. The voice that you're putting on paper is not your voice, it's a different voice. So one of the ways you can failsafe yourself is to read your stuff out loud. And reading your stuff out loud, the mistakes will jump out at you a lot faster because it runs the story through a different area of your brain. So that area is unfamiliar with what's going on and so notices problems quicker. It also allows you to evoke the music in the words. And if the music is sounding wrong, you can fix it just like you would fix playing a false note on a trumpet. It takes a bit of practice because what you'll do initially is that you'll try to conform stories on a word-by-word level and you'll get really, really nitpicky about it. And that's the wrong thing to do. What you want to be doing is conforming your stories on a song-by-song level. Is this song a J. Daniel Sawyer song, or a Robert Tilsley song, or whatever your name is? You want to feel the music that's in your head bleeding through the pages. And this sounds very esoteric because I'm doing it badly, but if you experiment with it a bit, you might find that it makes a lot more sense in practice than it does in theory. Now, if you're having a lot of trouble with this and you're not able to develop a technique that works for you, and there are reasons you might not be able to, it is very difficult to hear the music in your own voice as anything other than boring. And if it's boring to you, you're going to try to punch it up, and that's never going to work well. The other thing you can do is, I just saw come across one of my email lists that Dean Wesley Smith, who is a master of changing voices, is going to be doing a self-editing workshop online here coming up. You can find out about them and you can find out about it under the online workshops tab at deanwesleysmith.com. He's going to be going through an extensive list of tricks, many of which I haven't learned yet, and or if I've learned them, I can't adequately explain yet because I'm early enough in my career. Other resources to look at: Scott Meredith's book, Writing to Sell, which is available on Amazon, and I'll put in the show notes here, has a lot of interesting tips on voice and working with your own voice and self-editing. Also, believe it or not, though it is a bit of a train wreck of a book because it's a memoir rather than a writing guide, and I say train wreck in the most affectionate possible sense, it's a great book, it's just not a good reference book. Joe Esterhaus's book, The Devil's Guide to Hollywood, The Screenwriter as God, has a lot of craft and good tips on self-revision without compromising your voice, worked in with all the other anecdotes and obscenity in that wonderful, wonderful book. So I'm going to put those two things in the show notes so that you can click through and get them. And I'll get an Amazon commission, which is always nice. Check out Dean's workshop as well. I know Dean well enough to know that it's going to be a hell of a workshop and very, very useful for this particular. So check those out and try the techniques that I've been talking about here. And hopefully that'll get you started on your way. And I'll see you tomorrow. The Everyday Novelist is written and presented by J. Daniel Sawyer and is produced by Artistic Whispers Productions. Visit our website at everydaynovelist.com and leave a tip in the tip jar or join the Patreon to support this podcast. The Everyday Novelist is copyright 2017 J. Daniel Sawyer and Artistic Whispers Productions, Inc. and is released under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derivatives License.